Well, we're carrying on our second week in the series called Road to Recovery. And this whole series is about people finding freedom from their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And we have a ministry devoted to that called Celebrate Recovery here at the church that meets on Monday nights that we'd love for you to be a part of if any of this sort of grabs your heart. But we really believe that everyone needs the freedom that Jesus brings, that everyone should recover and discover the fullness of God in your life. We have a testimony from Pastor Allen while he's been away at this summit retreat that they're over at. They took a bunch of student leaders and then a bunch of leaders and then a number of people who aren't quite leaders yet, but they've been connecting with and hoping they can sort of work into that place. And one of the people that went is someone that Pastor Allen has gotten connected with more and more, and someone that we see a lot of potential in. This young man has walked through a lot in his life. And recently, we as a church have had just the honor of walking with his family, and there was some addiction challenge, and the family has been falling apart in many ways. Until recently, he ended up in foster care not long ago. And so Pastor Allen worked hard to bring him along on the trip, and we just really believe in him. And while they were there, I got a message last night at midnight saying, hey, he just gave his life to Jesus. He just gave his life to Jesus, got saved last night. Out of brokenness, God does restore. And out of messy situations, God does bring life. In fact, it's often that we sort of wonder, when would Jesus work best in our lives? And sometimes we think it's once we're all sorted out and all figured out and got everything lined up in our life. And definitely you wouldn't assume that it's at the point where you're now in foster care because your family has fallen apart because of addiction and some of the challenges that you've walked through. No, that's not when you'd assume it. And that's when Jesus always seems to show up, though. Into the messiness and the brokenness and the pain and the challenge, which is why Celebrate Recovery is such a great ministry. Because if you have hurts, Jesus wants to meet you in those. If you have hang-ups, Jesus wants to pull you out of those. If you have habits, Jesus wants to redirect your life and show you new habits to walk in Him. New proper living that you can do with Him. And so if your life feels messy and feels like it's not quite sorted out and you've come from a background that maybe doesn't make sense, if that's where you're at today, good news, Jesus wants to meet you in that place. He loves you. He cares about you. And today we're going to talk about Him not knowing your situation, Him caring about your situation, and Him being able to change your situation. Last week we started with this idea in our recovery journey. Realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong things, and my life is unmanageable. Isn't that a high point to leave us at last week, hey? Hey, your life is unmanageable, and you can't make good decisions, right? And away we go. What a joyful moment that was. But it was a good Sunday, exciting, because what it takes that to get to this stage now. It takes that to get to the place where we do recognize God is God in our life. But sometimes we never take this next step. There are many people who find that they make that first step and they recognize, yeah, my life is unmanageable. And I'm not really living how I'd like to live. And last week we talked about Paul who says, the things I want to do, I do not do, but instead I do the things I hate. We talked last week that addiction is not about just big drug addiction and living on the streets or alcoholism, abusive nature. I mean, it can be all sorts of things. Maybe the challenge for you is that you just can't sort out your calendar. And though you want to get back to your home to have dinner with your kids, you just can't leave work. There's always a little bit more to do. And maybe is that rooted in a hurt? Could it be a hang-up that's in your life? I want to get home, but instead I do the thing I hate and I just don't, you know? I just don't go home. Or maybe it's, I want to do this eating plan. I want to go on this diet, but instead I just don't. And then I feel like I hate myself in the morning or whenever it is because I just ate something I hated. And yet, I just can't do what I want to do in this situation. We're stuck in habits and hurts and hang-ups. Sometimes when we recognize that, it leaves us hopeless and we never move to hope. We just stay there. Yeah, I guess I'm actually not that good at this. I guess I can't climb out of this on my own. I guess I'm not God. And we just sort of start to drown in life. Start to feel like it's just never going to work out. And God's going to have to do just something miraculous. That's it. He's going to have to do something crazy. And if he does something crazy, then it'll work out. Otherwise, I guess I'm just going to be in this hopeless state for the rest of my life. But could it be that God is actually here? He's saying, I just want you to start walking with me. I just want you to start offering your habits to me and your hang-ups to me and your hurts to me and watch how I walk along. It's not maybe going to be some miraculous, huge, crazy miracle. Maybe it's just the new revelation that he is here by your side, that he wants to offer you a way out. He wants to offer you hope even in this moment. I've got a cute little video from a movie called Pursuit of Happiness that we want to show you about that.
Dad, listen to this. One day, a man was drowning in the water, and a boat came by and said, "Do you need any help?" He said, "No, thank you. God will save me." Then another boat came by, said, "Do you need any help?" And he said, "No, thank you. God will save me." Then he drowned and went to heaven. And he said, "God, why didn't you save me?" And God said, "I sent you two big boats, you dummy." Do you like it?
Do you like it? My kids always say that. You like it? That's so funny. By the way, God doesn't call anyone dummies. That was not good theology. But anyways, we get the point, right? Where we're living out life and we feel like we're drowning. We can't keep our heads up. And this boat comes by, maybe. And maybe it's just a friend. Maybe it's just the fact that you got to come to church today, where you show up at church and all of a sudden you're around people who are laughing or smiling or enjoying themselves. And you show up there and think, no, this can't be it. I need God to perform some sort of miracle. I need lightning. I need fire. I need earthquakes. I think of Elijah, who came out to the edge of a cave or in the Old Testament. And there was an earthquake and a fire and a great wind. And all of it said God was not in any of those. But then came a whisper, and God was the whisper. God was whispering to Elijah. Could it be that sometimes on our recovery journey, we recognize we're not God, and so we're waiting for the big fire or the big earthquake or the big wind, and God is saying, "Can I just tell you that I've got today for you? Can I just tell you I've got a plan for overcoming your habits today? Can I just tell you that I want to heal your hurts for today? Can we just walk together in this?" And we say, no, I don't want that boat. I want the miracle. And God's saying, I've got you a boat. Get in. Jump in it. And I believe that God's going to call some people into that, even today. That he's going to reveal to you that it's not going to be some huge act of God, but it might just be God saying, why don't you just accept me into your life? Why don't you just receive me into your heart? Why don't you just allow me to walk with you and allow my presence to lead you? I will give you the strength to overcome your hurts and your habits and hang-ups. And I want you to know that I know your situation, I care about your situation, and I can change your situation. So this week, the next step in our road to recovery is earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. As I was considering this sermon this week, I was drawn to John 5. And in John 5, there's this story of Jesus walking on the earth. And when Jesus walked on the earth, he spent a lot of time with people who were kind of marginalized in society, people who were not necessarily seen as the highest, most prestigious, powerful people. He spent time with those who had physical issues, blindness or deafness, or they were paralyzed or they were mute. He spent time with people who were lepers. He spent time with people who were prostitutes and people who were just marginalized in society. But there's this one time that I think more than ever, the desperation, the challenge of life is shown in a real way. It's in John 5, 1-8. It says, "Sometime later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And so he shows up, and you can imagine this scene where you have this pool and then loads of people around it, crowds of people around it, all with some kind of physical ailment. Some are blind, some are deaf, some can't walk. There's probably some who are sick with some kind of, maybe there's lepers that are on the outskirts of that. Like, there's all of these people in desperate situations. And the idea at this pool was that once in a while the water would stir. And I don't know if the understanding maybe was that an angel came and stirred the water, but there was this power in the stirring water, and so they would race. And the first person to get themselves into that water was the first person to get healed. That person would be healed after that. You can imagine how desperate this would feel. Like, imagine being blind in that situation. Someone yells out, "The water is stirred." Do you even get up and try anymore? You're going to run, and which way do I go again? You're bumping into people. Or you're deaf and you never heard that it actually happened. Or maybe you're paralyzed and you can't walk and you can't even get up anyways. And is someone else going to get up and carry you there? Like, what a desperate situation. And Jesus shows up there. It says, One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Jesus learned about this guy. He found out about him. He found out his situation and how long he had been in it and what was going on and where he was at, so that when Jesus came to him, he already knew everything that he faced. When Jesus was going to ask him a question, he already knew where this guy was at. When this guy was going to sort of push Jesus off a little bit or try to change the subject a little bit, kind of, Jesus already knows this guy. He already knows what's going on. And he already knows you. Sometimes we think our recovery journey is all about just me trying to recover myself and do whatever I have to do for this. And no one would understand. No one gets me. No one gets what I'm walking through, because no one can understand the hurts that I have in my life. No one can understand what makes me cry asleep at night. What makes me, like, my past, how much it affects me. My addiction, how much it affects me. My relationships, how much they affect me. No one knows how insecure I am. No one knows that I don't eat this many meals, or that after this meal I purge. No one understands what I'm walking through. No one gets it. God does. He knows what kind of guilt you have in your situation. He knows what kind of shame you have with the habits that you're walking through. He knows you. He knows your situation. Psalm 31:7 says, "I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul." I will rejoice in you because you saw me, God. Because you know me, God. Because you know what I'm walking through, God. You know what I'm facing, God. I will rejoice in you just because you know me. And then Psalm 69:5 says, "You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you." Not only do you know my hurts, you know the things I'm ashamed about. You know the things I don't feel good about, God. You know the things that aren't really that good for you. You know what I've walked through. And probably most people would have thought that this spot where Jesus was standing was just full of sin. Because if people were afflicted in this way, they must have been sinners before. Or generationally, their parents were sinners, or their grandparents. And so this is just what happens. And just leave them alone, because they must be bad people if they're dealing with that issue. That was kind of the thinking in the time. That's what they would have assumed about these people. And Jesus isn't coming into that ignorant, saying, "Oh, I don't know any of that stuff." No, he's coming in and he knows who these people are. He knows what they've walked through. He knows how others see them. He knows what they're facing, and still he goes in because he cares. Next thing that he asks, he says to the guy that he knows, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" Insinuating, "I would like to help you get well. I care about you. No, I know you're broken. I know you're in a really tough spot here. I know the shame that you're walking with. I know that people would have seen you as a sinner, and probably you have done some things that you shouldn't have done in your life. I know that you're desperate. I know that you're not in a good place, but do you want to get well? Because in this place, I care for you, Jesus is saying. God cares about your situation. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared to us in the passing. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness." His love is everlasting. His kindness is unfailing. God doesn't change in that. God doesn't love you in this situation and then not in this one. He doesn't necessarily like everything that you do, but he loves you. It's unfailing. It's everlasting. There won't be a start and an end. This will be forever. He has made you to be loved by him. He has made you to be in relationship with him. As long as you exist and before you existed, because he knew you then, he has loved you and he will continue to do so. He has loved you with an everlasting love. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus doesn't wait for us to get to a certain place and then all of a sudden he loves us and he'll do some acts of love for us. He says the greatest act of love is to lay down your life for a friend, and then Jesus does it for people who he says and he recognizes are actually sinners, are not the best people, are not living the right life. And Jesus says, "I know that, and yet I care. I know who you are, and yet I care for you. I know your shame, and yet I care for you. I know your filthy acts, and yet I care for you. I know what you do behind closed doors, and yet I care for you. I know your brokenness and how much you want everyone to like you, and yet I care for you. I know what you've done to that person so that you'll be liked by others, and yet I care. So, do you want to get well?" You can tell that this guy has not even a place to put that question. Like, I don't even know what to do with that one. Do I want to get well? I wonder at what point he stopped thinking that he would get well. He stopped actually even wanting it at some point. I wonder if there was, the 5-year mark or the 10-year mark or the 37-year mark. I wonder if at that point he said, I'm not even going to get my hopes up anymore. I've got to stop expecting this is going to happen. This has just gone on too long. History tells me it's not going to change. History tells me nothing's going to happen with this now. And so I better just decide who I'm going to be based on this situation. This will always be my reality. Sometimes I feel like we end up in a spot the same way, where we just say, it's gone on long enough. This addiction has been here long enough. This hang-up has been here long enough. This hurt that I'm carrying has been here long enough. It's now part of me. It's just who I am. And if Jesus came up to you and said, "Do you want to get well?" you'd have no category for that in your mind. What do you mean? I won't. What do you mean? I haven't yet. So what are you asking? I don't quite understand. Jesus says, "Do you want to get well?" This is how he responds. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." His response first is not, "Do I want it or not? Is that my desire or not?" It is simply, "It won't happen." He's limited to thinking that the only way he will get well is through that pool. The only way he will get well is if someone picks him up and carries him on down, gets him down to that place, puts him on a wheelchair, whatever it is, and gets him down there and puts him in the pool. That's the only way. And since I know that that's the only way and I can't do it, then it's just not going to happen. Sometimes for us, the only way that we feel like recovery is going to happen is going to be this step or that step or through this program or whatever. And maybe you failed at that step, or maybe you failed at that program, and you've eventually said, "Well, I guess it's not going to happen because this was the foolproof, definite way I was getting out. I went in, I did the treatment, I did all the stuff, I walked through the journey, I saw the counselor, I did all that, and it didn't work. And so obviously it's not going to work." And so when Jesus shows up and says, "Do you want this?" We say, I've tried. Sorry, Jesus. What you don't know is it's not going to work for me. Never has, never will. Let's not worry about that. But God can change your situation. Not only does God know your situation and care about your situation, He can change your situation. And today, we are to earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. Luke 18:27, Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God. What hasn't worked for you so far on your own strength will work through God. What you can't accomplish by yourself, you can accomplish with God. Whatever was impossible for you becomes possible for God." Philippians 2:13 says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." I love that verse. Because sometimes maybe you're even a Christian in this room and you've been walking the life for a long time and you feel like there are still these hang-ups I'm tripping on all the time, these habits that I have, this hurt that I can't get over, and you still keep tripping on all those things. You say, I just got to shake it and I can't figure out how I'm going to do it and what will I do, right? It says God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power. In other words, you may not even have a desire to change the way you live. But God says, I'll work in you. I'll give you that desire and the power. I'll give you what you need to actually want that. How about instead of praying that you will do it, just say, God, I'm open to you helping me want to do it. And then once I've prayed that prayer, I'm open to the power that you have in me to do it. God, this is what God says. I can give you desire and power. I can give you what you need to want to change and the power to change. I'll give you both. Then in 2 Timothy 1:7 it says, "For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Spirit of God in us. There's a whole lot that we can't accomplish without Him. There's a whole lot that we can't do without the Spirit of God living in us. And that, I probably don't have to beat that drum all day long, because we all know there's lots of things that we can't accomplish, we can't do, we can't get past, we can't get over, we can't forgive, we can't say sorry, we can't, whatever it is, there's a lot of things that we can't get past in our lives. We kind of know that one. We know that is true. And yet the Spirit of God, this is what we sometimes don't know, the Spirit of God can do it in us. Can do what we can't do. Can accomplish what we felt like was impossible to accomplish. He says, "I have no one to help me. And the water is stirred while I'm trying to get in. Someone else gets down ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, walk." That's all Jesus says. Oh, yeah. 38 years of history, you're right. Like, what are this guy's legs like after 38 years? But Jesus says, "Get up, let's go." Picks up his mat, walks out. What is impossible with man is possible with God. I'll tell you, I get so excited in my life as a pastor to see people decide that, no, I couldn't live a life for Jesus, or I couldn't live a life of recovery, or I couldn't discover freedom on my own. And then they meet Jesus and encounter that power and that life, and all of a sudden, freedom is just handed to them. All of a sudden, purpose is just handed to them. All of a sudden, they have the strength that they didn't have before to walk through the recovery journey. All of a sudden, they feel like there's grace to meet them and forgive them and show them that they're not bad people, but they're created and made in the image of God. I love when people discover Jesus inside of them and welcome Jesus to change their life and His Spirit to do what they couldn't do. I love when that happens. And so we're trying to celebrate that a little bit over this Road to Recovery series. And so we have another testimony that we're going to show to you on video here. And this is a testimony of a guy who's been part of our church for a while. And he's a guy who I've just grown to really appreciate, and I'm excited to just have you hear Brad's testimony here.
So I'm Brad Zomar. Before I found Jesus, my life was like in shambles. I had a hard life. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol for more than a decade, and my life was falling apart. It was, and I had no relationship with my family or kids. And when I went to treatment in 2014, I was told to seek God, and I was struggling for weeks, and my counselor suggested praying aloud, and I tried, and one night, it was a really bad day for me there, and I did, this overwhelming feeling of something there in the room with me, which I can't explain at all. After that day, I started coming to Northgate, and when I finally accepted Jesus in my life, it was like freedom for sure. Like I wasn't trying to be to impress anybody anymore. I wasn't trying to live this flashy lifestyle. I just started living my life for Jesus, for God, and everything just started falling into place. I've gained an amazing family here at Northgate ever since then, and my life with my kids is better. I had to let go of a lot of people in my past, though, but it just opened the door for a lot more good people that came in. Becoming a believer in Christ has given me so much hope that I never used to have. I was used to, honestly, sometimes hope I didn't wake up. That was the only hope I had before I cleaned up. And now I look forward to every day, because every day brings something new in my life. And when I started getting more involved with the church too and serving God, my life even fell more into place. Life was easier, and good things just started happening. In the last year, I've started praying more, like every day on my drive to work, when I wake up in the morning, before I go to bed, with dinner, I pray, and the power of that is incredible. I didn't realize how people told me, oh, the power of prayer is amazing, and I didn't believe before. But now me and my kids and my girlfriend, we all do, and it's changing our lives in incredible ways. If people take anything out of this, is my life was in shambles and I wanted it to end, and coming to know Christ and serving Him is the most amazing thing that ever happened in my life. I don't need anything else anymore. That's all I need. And just have faith in it. Like, when you're coming out of recovery, it's hard to see light, but there is definitely light in Christ.
Amen. Come on. I love that. I love that so much. Brad, I know you're here somewhere. Thanks for sharing that, Brad. Just being open with us, and it's so great. Worship team, you can come on up. Sometimes the difference between hopelessness and hope is another H word and it's a four-letter word that sometimes we don't like saying, is help. Just asking God, I think I do need help. I actually don't think I'm where I need to be. Maybe that's you're outside of faith or you're inside of faith and still say, I just need help. I'm not getting over this habit. I'm not healing from this hurt. I'm not changing from this hang up and and moving on. I'm not finding recovery. I'm not finding freedom. And sometimes it's just nothing but help that you need. Would you call out to God today, I wonder? Maybe there's some of you today that might need to do that for the first time. And really all that we're hearing here from Scripture in Philippians, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. What we need from God is we need to believe in Him and then receive from Him. We need to believe that Jesus Christ actually does know our situation, does care about our situation, and can make changes to our situation. But we know that God, often His best way of helping us recover is not by changing our circumstances, but by changing us. Not by changing what's going on around us, but by changing us so we can affect those things going on around us. And so it's not just, I want to believe in you, and then would you just change my whole circumstance, like that guy drowning with the boats and things, saying, would you just, dry up the sea so I don't have this water around me? No, He's saying, no, I just want to teach you how to get up on that boat. So not only do we believe in Jesus, but we receive His Spirit that starts to change the way we think, the way we act, the way we can live, so that we can have the strength to overcome, to walk through healing, discover freedom from our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups. Would you just bow your heads and pray with me for a moment? Today I'm going to pray a prayer. If you'd like to repeat in your heart, or you'd like to speak out loud, you can do that. I'll leave you enough time to repeat this in your heart. And this is for Christians and those who wouldn't yet call themselves Christians, but today have a desire to pray. So God, we know that we are not God. I know that I am not God. I know that I can't manage my life how I'd like. I know I can't overcome the temptation to do what is wrong. And today, I earnestly believe that You are God, that You do know my situation, that You do care about my situation, and You can change it and me. Today I believe in Jesus. I believe that He is the only way to recovery. I believe He is the only way to true freedom. I believe He knows me. And even though He knows me, He cares about me. And I believe that He can walk me through this recovery journey. And today I want to stop praying that the oceans would dry up, and instead, that I would jump up on the boat that God has provided. Today I want to give my life to Jesus. Today I do give my life to Jesus. I commit my recovery journey to You, recognizing Your strength and Your life. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer today, we have something called a Connect card here. It's just in front of you in your seat somewhere. Especially if you prayed it for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you're saying, I just need help. I'm just kind of struggling along here. And you say, now I recognize that help's going to come from Jesus. Just write that down for us. Tell us what today was about. There's a spot where you can check off, like it says, I'm accepting Jesus as my Savior today. If today you say, I need to be saved out of my situation, I need to walk into that, and I'm willing to follow Jesus if through my recovery and into eternal life, if today that was you and you have something that fills you up today that you want to believe and receive, just check that off. We'd love to contact you. We'd love to let you know about how you can get plugged in here. We'd also love just to celebrate that you have made that choice and that God is welcoming you in, because even while we were still sinners, even while we were still broken, he loved us and he died for us. Amen? Amen. Let's give it up, Jesus. Come on. It's awesome. Well, these guys are going to play a little bit of an upbeat kind of song. If you'd like some prayer, we're available down here. We can pray for you. But we'd love to hear from you. Get those connect cards to the info center so that we can call you or contact you and just let you know about the choice that you've made today. After this service, right now, could you help with the BPS? Do you need to say anything about that, or just... You're going to be standing right there. Pastor Joel is right there. If you can help with some setup for about half hour, that would be awesome. Hour. A little bit of time. And we're going to have a great week. Pray for us this week. Pray for the BBS, the kids. And thanks for being here. Bring someone else back next week. We're going to recover together and find the freedom that Jesus has for us. See you next week.
If you can leave it on, that'd be awesome.
There is. It's super quick. Well,